The Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Spirit Radio Show tonight. It is Wednesday, April 18th, 2018, and we are here. Namaste to you, Feather Light.
Namaste, Black
Rose. How are you? I'm well. Thank you so much. Just happy to be here tonight. We have a great topic, something that we've been wanting to start a series on. So, yeah, what are we teaching our children?
You want to talk a little bit about this? What are we teaching our children?
So, namaste to the audience, to our listening audience, like Delta would say. So, namaste. Peace, greetings to everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight. And you can also join the conversation if you would like. Just give us a call in tonight at 704-802-5056. And press ** to unmute yourself. And you can also follow us on the Twitter at MBS. Here I go with that MBS. MB Spirit Radio. I just always want to say MBS. MB Spirit Radio. And you should follow us for sure on the BTR Community page. You can join BTR Community at btrcommunity.com. Very simple and easy to join. It's a social media experience that you will enjoy.
Most
you can
definitely.
Also join the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show group page, too.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. So how is it going, Feather Light?
I am evolving. And I guess like a butterfly, like a, no, not a butterfly, not a butterfly. Butterfly is the result. But, you know, there's the caterpillar, and then there's the moth, and then he has to squeeze out of his little cocoon, and it's kind of difficult squeezing out.
Mm-hmm.
But once he's out, she's out, she becomes this beautiful butterfly who flies freely all over the nation, the world, universe. So I am evolving.
The elusive butterfly. I love butterflies.
Me too.
Here on the island, you see quite a few bees and butterflies, so I love them.
Yes, yes. It was so nice to see. Every time I go to the park, I see them. And I didn't see them when I was in Houston. It's just like, where are you?
Too much traffic, too many people.
That's right.
So, but I love Houston now. Let me share this inspirational quote. Let's see, where's my inspirational quote? Yeah, here we are. Sometimes your joy is the source of your smile, but sometimes your smile can be the source of your joy. And that's by Titch Nett. I'm probably not pronouncing his name properly, but he's the monk that's a proponent of mindfulness.
Right.
Just being mindful. Yeah. Being mindful in the moment. I am adapting to mindfulness and just being in the moment. Takes a lot because I have so much going on, but I tell you, when I do that, things are better. So it's just a practice, a lifestyle change. Mm-hmm. Just practicing mindfulness.
Yeah.
Like even when I'm having like a crazy day and I have to drive all the way from Houston back here to the island, I will still like go out on the seawall and just either park or just walk out onto the water. At least for like 5 or 10 minutes, just to calm down, bring it all down, have a little mindfulness time, watch the waves and watch the birds. I love watching these seagulls and the pelicans.
they're calming.
Very.
Very calming.
Yes.
What I have learned recently. Now that I'm more aware of my energy and the thoughts are energy, and we can affect how we feel by our thoughts. When I am thinking about something that's not pleasant, and that's kind of bringing me down, then I will become aware of these thoughts, and I'll think, okay, let me think about something that's pleasant. Something that I'm grateful for. Let me step out on the balcony. Let me, you know, put something else more positive in my mind. And sometimes I just smile because I'm practicing what I preach. By when you smile, it sends a message to your brain to relax. It actually works. Yeah,
it does. A smile. Who would have thought a smile would be so impactful? Just you smiling. I have to do that sometimes too. I did it today.
You did.
I think I had to do it twice. And I was so in my head, and I was like, just smile. So I thought that this was a quote that was quite apropos.
Yeah.
Of my experience. All right, you have a quote?
Yes, here's my quote that's apropos as well. Go where you are celebrated, not where you are tolerated. That's by Ralph Smart, who has the diving YouTube video with over 1 million viewers. And where we get a lot of our information from.
I absolutely love Ralph Smart.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
Go where you are celebrated, not where you are tolerated.
Tolerated. Mm-hmm. See, don't just tolerate me. Celebrate me.
Right.
Celebrate me. And if you don't feel that way, then that is fine. I can, like they say, move around.
I can take my presence somewhere else in a minute.
I would like to have that statement in a frame. So where you are celebrated and not where you are tolerated.
Yeah.
I love
yeah.
it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
You have another one?
Yes. Since we're talking about children. Children are educated by what the grown-up is, not by his talk.
Mm-hmm.
What the grown-up is, not by his talk.
Yes.
Carl Jung.
Mm-hmm. Children are certainly sponges, and they will emulate their parents, duplicate their behavior in various ways. So... children are educated by what the grown up is, not by his talk.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So don't just go around telling your child, don't do this, don't do that, but then you're doing it.
Right.
Be an example. You're carrying out those same actions that you are encouraging hurt your child not to engage in.
Right.
So
you can't have one of those do as I say, not as I do kind of attitudes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, I know that's right. That, you know what, now that one certainly speaks to our topic tonight. What are we teaching our children? Because what type of example are you being for that child?
Right.
Mm-hmm. How are you inspiring that child? How are you enhancing the child's life? You know, some children, I look at them, I say, well, I feel sorry for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So many children have to stand for themselves. And now, sometimes it's not that the parent doesn't love them or is disconnected from them, but they may be disconnected, not in a love sense or intimate sense, but just maybe some type of disconnect because of whatever it is that they're experiencing. Does that make sense? Like the parents, they don't want a parent. They may not feel the desire to parent. It's like when a woman after pregnancy and she's detached.
All right, postpartum depression.
Yeah, that one. I can't. I'm drawing a blank. I'm having a Rick Perry moment right now. Exactly. So maybe it's like a detachment. That they may have a certain sort of disconnect, whereas they're not willing or able really to like parent and care for a child, because you know you wonder like how are they not there for the child, how are they not preparing dinner for the child? You know they have food. You know what's the problem? And why is mom laying up in the bed with him, or why is dad in the bed with her, or whatever? And no one's cooked us anything. So no one's prepared anything for us. Our clothes for tomorrow. You hadn't helped us with our homework. So and this is a conversation not to demean or debase anybody, but we want to help, and we're going to talk about like how that disconnect and detachment, or how the lack of whatever it may be in terms of sharing certain traditions and cultural aspects with your child. We want to talk about some of those things tonight so that we can heal our hearts, right, for the light,
right,
and
right.
We are going to speak our truth.
Speak
our truth. Yep, we have to do it. We have to speak our truth. All right. So,
and this will be an ongoing topic because there's no way we could complete the subject in one night, and we shouldn't because it's such an important topic. Our children,
you know.
Mm-hmm. And it's ongoing.
Yes, and our learning and evolving is ongoing.
Right.
And that's what we strive for. We're healing. We're healing ourselves. And that's a process.
Right.
That's a process. Mm-hmm. A process that we are going to go through together. So we have to have some experts. I know my aunt, Dr. Debbie, she's a child behavioral specialist, and she is going to come here to the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show and speak with us about some of the behavioral issues that many children are facing and what parents are having to work with their children. So, mm-hmm. You know, I just, it's amazing. You know, I don't know if it's, well, that's a whole other topic right there, because we have the medications and the foods and the drugs and all these things and the vaccinations. And
right, so vaccinations.
Exactly. So I know that some of these children are having behavioral issues, and a lot of it does come from those delineated items. So we'll talk more about that. So, hot topics. Hey, we need some music for hot topics. Hot topics. I was able to view Winnie Medikizeli. I'm not saying that right. Winnie Medikizeli Mandela.
I'm here.
I was able to watch her memorial service and funeral over the weekend. And so I started watching it. What night was it? I think it was Friday. It was like Friday night. I think Friday night was the funeral, because they had some of the memorial services were aired towards the latter part of the week. Watched the memorial services. But the funeral, baby, the funeral. Mama Winnie's funeral. Oh, it was beautiful.
It was
memorable. It was magnificent.
It really was. They came out.
Yes, the people, the speeches, the attire, the songs, the verses. Just so moving, so touching, so winning, so powerful,
yes,
so magnificent.
Yes. It was magnificent.
So, mm-hmm.
So royal.
Very royal. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And so tonight, for our African Spirit segment, I want to honor Zenani Mandela Delani, Winnie's daughter that spoke.
Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. Good.
I'll share some excerpts from what she spoke at Winnie's, her mother's funeral. So, yes, it was beautiful. Julius Malema's powerful speech, when he said, what did he say about, oh, yes, he said, name the Cape Town Airport.
Oh,
the
right.
Winnie Medikizeli Mandela Airport.
Yeah.
And just hearing the people speak about how Winnie impacted their lives, how she would pick up the dead children's bodies out of the street. She would bring the live babies in and nurture them and school them and teach them and care for them. She is truly the mother of a nation. She always mm-hmm. will be, because her spirit lives in so many of us. So many of us. And I was so pleased to see that so many people came out and dispelled and debunked a lot of the negative rhetoric around Winnie.
Yes.
Still
right.
trying to attach her to a crime that she never committed. Her only crime was being a freedom fighter.
Mm-hmm. I like the way the speakers were not afraid to speak their mind about the hypocrites who attended her funeral. They called them out.
And Julius Malema, the leader of the EFF, Economic Freedom Fighters, stated at one of the memorial, at one of his memorial speech, not the memorial speech, I think this is when they were outside of her home, he said that they would begin to tap people on their shoulders and say, okay, what are you doing here? You know you're the enemy. That they would do that quietly. And then after that, it's not going to be quiet anymore. So, oh yes. I love EFF. I love them. If people are not familiar with the EFF, remember, they're the people who went up in the H&M stores after the H&M stores had that who's the coolest monkey jersey on the little black boy. And the Kenyan mom was like, oh, don't worry about all of that. Whatever. You may not worry about it, but some of us do. And so the EFF went in there and turned their store inside out. Yes. And I forget now how many stores H&M had to close down. And see, that's the power that we have. And, you know, I think that that's just a great segue to just roll on into this Start Booking Why Black story. Now, as I lounged in my bed and I was, you know, watching Winnie's funeral, like Friday night going into Saturday morning, because it was like already, I think like 8 o'clock in the morning over there in South Africa, and so I saw this tweet on Twitter. Posted the lady who posted the video with the black gentlemen, the commercial real estate investors that were sitting in Starbucks as people often do, and waiting on a companion to join them for some lattes, okay? And so I saw the video and I'm like, oh my God, you know, what the hell? I said, here's Starbucks is. And then I kept seeing the video, and it just caught wings. And, you know I tweeted to Starbucks, and especially after I found out the guys were arrested, and I think they remained in jail for like 9 hours. And then they were only there about 15 minutes before the damn managers come over there harassing them, telling them they have to leave, and all of this mess. So anyway, I'm sure people already know about the story, so I don't need to go through all the details. What I want to say is, let me give a salute to my illy Philly folks who came out to that Starbucks and shut it down, because they had to close that Starbucks down, I believe, like by the afternoon time, 12 or 1 o'clock.
Sure did.
I think they came back out like throughout the weekend. And so, of course, people know the CEO, Kevin, had to come out and make a statement and all that stuff. But, you know, that manager was not immediately terminated. And I remember, I know I tweeted to that damn Starbucks, listen, she needs to be terminated. Because if she's not, you know, I have my Starbucks gift cards that we give out to clients. I told them, baby, they won't be getting a Starbucks gift card. And see, that's the power that we have.
That's the power we have. We need to use it.
Right. So many people started tweeting that they would not be going to Starbucks. People started tweeting other coffee shops. See, things like this have to happen for so many reasons, to wake people up. And then also, you find out about people like Lamont Hill has a coffee shop in Philadelphia. I didn't even know that. Oh, okay. When I go to Philly again, I'm going to his coffee shop.
That's cool. And that's what we need to do. There was a list, and I'm going to post it on the BTR group page. I meant to have it ready for tonight, but slipped my mind. But there were there was a list of black-owned coffee and tea shops that was floating around on Twitter. For people to go. You don't have to go to the highest room. You don't have to get your stuff from Starbucks.
With that hot coffee, shit.
Go where you are celebrated.
Thank you. Back to the quote. Go where you are celebrated, not tolerated. And
right,
see, so
right.
What's his name? Oh, my God. You know I have to say this now. What's your boy name? See, people like him, I try to forget their names. Kevin Hart. It's not a Starbucks problem. Okay, you know what, Kevin, nobody asked you. But I know you have a right to say that. I just don't like him, so, you know, I play on him whenever I can. And so, of course, he was like, you know, fix it, Starbucks, fix it, you know, fix it, Starbucks, and all this old crap. It's not a Starbucks problem, you know, it just needs to be fixed. Shut up, with your cheating ass. You know, don't even get me started on him, because, see, I'm trying to be mindful and nice and not talk about people. So, I'm not going to let the devil get to me. But anyway, so...
Speak your truth.
You know,
speak your truth.
But it may be a Starbucks problem, though, because remember a few years ago, I think maybe just 2 years ago, there was a brother, homeless brother, sleeping outside of Starbucks. Somebody in Starbucks called the police.
Sure did.
The regular police on the beat came out.
Yep,
Not a problem here. They went head on. Then some old Nazi, probably one of these South African transplants, they had to get out of South Africa, and they over here pretending to be some Kentucky-born white folks. They bringing these Africaners ass from over there with that bullshit. And I said it, because that's some bullshit, because you're not going to bring apartheid over here.
No. We're not having
that. You can forget that. Because, see, one thing about these white folks over here, they love their money. And when you start messing with it, baby, please, they don't care nothing about that when it comes down to black folks spending their money.
Yes.
All right?
They want our money.
You can sit here, sleep here, eat here, and do whatever else you want to do. I bet you they'll be able to do that now in Starbucks. And I hope those brothers get a Starbucks. Get some stock options in Starbucks.
Right.
Give them some shares. Give them some shares in Starbucks. In addition to monetary compensation for all that pain and suffering and embarrassment. And they were so calm, cool, and collected.
Oh, right there, oh, I was so
and
proud
I also want to salute the lady that posted the video.
Yes.
And all the people that shared it and made it go viral, people that talked about it, people that contacted Starbucks, told a friend, whatever you did.
Oh, and there's another Starbucks case going on right now in California, Torrance, California. A young black male wanted to use the restroom, and the manager would not give him access, would not give him the code, because she said he hadn't ordered.
Right.
He asked a European man who had just exited the restroom, had he ordered yet, and he said no, and he told him about the incident, and he gave him his name. And he said, no, I haven't ordered, but she gave me the code. So with that, he's challenging the Starbucks there.
I didn't finish with my case. I think that was in Milwaukee. And so the Nazi cop comes, and I think he beat the homeless man to death. I think he beat him and then shot him. I have to go back and look at the details. But I know he beat him. I want to say that he killed that homeless man.
He did kill him. He shot him 14 times.
All because some punk-ass coffee maker. Just make coffee. Nobody asked you to police. You know, they're
And the man was across the street. So he's got to look at in a park across the street. He wasn't even in Starbucks, but the Starbucks employee called. Called the police.
And see, people say it's not a Starbucks issue, but we have to be very, very careful, because Starbucks, what's that other one? Whole Foods. When they move into your neighborhood, that's a gentrified neighborhood. And with gentrification, you have people that are new to the neighborhood, and they're not used to Johnny walking down the street all day long or sitting on the steps at his grandmother's home. And then they have the audacity to ask you, do you live over here?
Right.
I've been living here 50 years, like my friend had to tell somebody. I've been living here 50 years.
When did you get here?
You just moved here last week, last month, or whatever. And they want to come and try to police the neighborhood. And so you have too many of these little Starbucks coffee makers. I'm not calling them baristas and all that. No, you're a little coffee maker. And that's what you need to do. Make my latte. Make my caramel macchiato, bitch. And stop calling the police on everybody. I'm sick of them.
I know you are. I am.
I'm sick of them. Yes. How dare you? You're a little coffee maker. Make my coffee. Who are you to be disgruntled by my presence?
By my presence only.
Make my coffee, bitch. That's it. Now, excuse my language. I hope that I didn't offend anybody, but that just goes to show how angry, how irate seeing that video made me. But it has to happen so that these people out here that were, they must have done something.
Right.
But people were still saying that about the Starbucks store. Well, they must have done something. No, they didn't do anything. But
and then I saw a couple of comments. And they were so racist. Comments I was reading. Why didn't they just get up and leave like the manager asked them to? They wouldn't have been held off to jail if they just got up to leave. You missed the freaking point.
Nobody said I need to get up and leave. That's right. People sit up in Starbucks all day long and do whatever. And
the last
whatever.
Time I was in Starbucks, I was meeting someone for a brief meeting. I never did order anything. She wanted to meet there, so we met there. And I got up and left.
Starbucks is a meeting place. That's why they offer free Wi-Fi. Now, I heard, what's his name, Dr. Jason Johnson. He was speaking about the story. And he said, Starbucks is not a strip club. You don't have to buy anything to sit there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was funny. But it's not. You don't. You don't have to purchase anything to sit there. You sit there, soak up their Wi-Fi, people working on their reports and documents and whatever.
Yeah.
Chatting,
yeah.
Listening to music, meeting people, drinking coffee, socializing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of place Starbucks is.
That's what it's known for.
Exactly.
It's not just the coffee.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, City of Brotherly Love didn't seem like it was showing those brothers any love.
None.
Like Starbucks.
None at all.
Well, okay. I think I may have belabored this subject enough. Hey, hashtag Starbucks and why black. I mean, we already know what it is. These people want to take it back to some old apartheid, some segregation. They're going to force us into a segregated situation because people not even going to want to go to places like that. Like, hey, what did your quote say? I'm going where I'm celebrated, baby.
Celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
See you.
Mm-hmm. You and I heard his name, the CEO, Kevin, was all on Don Lemon, all emotional and all of this whole business. Oh, yeah, okay, but is she fired? And don't hire her back in 6 months somewhere else. And don't hire her back in a year somewhere else within Starbucks.
And see, the original quote and the second quote about this manager was, she is no longer at this store.
That's right.
Attention to words. She is no longer at this store. But is she fired?
Is she fired? Okay, but did you fire her?
Yes, did you fire her?
Terminate.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then when she's terminated, I'm not one to promote violence, but she should never be comfortable anywhere she goes. What church do you go to? We standing out there calling you out. Where you go get your nails done? We're standing out there calling you out.
Where you do your grocery shopping?
Where you go? Yeah, we're standing out there.
You can walk freely wherever you want to, not anymore.
No, since you want to harass and call the police on somebody, we got you, little bitch. And people need to stop letting these people get away with this crap.
Exactly.
Harass them like they harass you.
Yes.
I'm always calling the cops.
People cannot ride your back once you get up.
That's right. Calling the cops on a 12-year-old boy, Tamir Rice, outside, playing in a park. That's a little bitty ballpark. I went to that park when I was in Ohio, where he was shot. Anybody that called the police, wherever you were living, right there in any one of those homes, you could see that that little boy was a little boy, and that was not a real gun. It's probably not a real gun, since there's some swings over there, a slide. I mean, this was a children's park. You knew he was playing. Punk ass. I'm so sick of these people. But that girl should never be comfortable. I don't care where she goes. She shouldn't be comfortable. Her mailman shouldn't be comfortable. Her hairdresser, nobody. Nobody's going to be comfortable all because of this little brawl. Sick of these people. Time to handle them. You got to handle these people. You can't just let them get away with that kind of crap. So they'll go further.
It will continue.
Yes. Oh, she's wrong. What if some of those crazy cops had come in, and what if the guys got violent? Then hell, we already know what they do.
And if the person holding that camera, filming that had been black, she would have been hauled off too.
Oh yeah.
One of the comments was obviously racist. Said, I heard that the person that was doing the filming was black, and it's mighty funny they got a lawyer really quick, and each one of them had a lawyer. Sounds kind of fishy to me.
Oh, shut up! I'm sick of them. Whatever. You know the.
Like, we don't have lawyers on retainer. We have to now. And plus, they were businessmen. And a lot of regular common people, you don't have to be white, have lawyers on retainer.
Indeed. Did you hear about this deadliest U.S. prison riot in 25 years?
Mm.
There were 7 prisoners that died and 17 were seriously injured. They had some kind of violent breakout at a maximum security prison in South Carolina. I wanted to listen to Scotty and the Abolitionist show to see if they on their show tonight, since they focus on political prisoners and are often in contact with some of our brothers that are being held in bondage. But it was a really bad, deadly prison riot. And some people say it was associated with people in territory. I don't know. And some people were saying that because of the conditions, of course, of the prison.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
You know what? Mm-hmm. No one should be forced in those to live in those conditions like that. That is horrible. It's inhumane. I remember when those brothers in that I think it was Alabama. Yeah, because it was Free Alabama or something like that, hashtag Free Alabama. But the brothers, they were showing how some of the meat was green.
Oh, yeah.
That they were supposed to ingest. Mm. Some green meat?
Mm.
Ugh.
Mm.
So, my condolences go out to those brothers who were being held in bondage. And you may be like some of these, many of our brothers out here, locked up on some stupid little bitty dope charge,
right.
Drug charge, maybe nothing. You were set up by some crooked cops in Baltimore somewhere.
Yeah.
You didn't cooperate.
Exactly. You didn't want to be a snitch, like they said about Freddie Gray. He didn't want to be an informant, but you want to go and kill him. You know, oh, my God. So my condolences go out to and even the brothers that may have done something ill. You did commit a crime. My condolences go out to you, too.
Yes.
Because you may have recognized your wrong before your day of death.
Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you, Featherlight. Thank you. So really quickly, because I know I went on a tangent with that Starbucks deal. I was doing the damn thing is rapper Kendrick Lamar.
He won
a Pulitzer for Damn. So it was just absolutely fitting that we honor him tonight as out doing the damn thing.
All right.
So, yes.
I love it.
Absolutely. Yes. Kendrick Lamar, and you know, I don't purchase many CDs and things like that, but actually this is one that I did purchase on iTunes. Damn. Mm-hmm. And I forgot I had it on iTunes. I should listen to
it. I don't know if I've heard that.
Yes. So he became the first non-classical or jazz musician to ever win a Pulitzer Prize for music. He's top of the chart. Yes. With music that tackles issues of race, politics, religion, and even mental health.
Wow. He's using his art.
Yes,
to heal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Yes. So he actually won, let's see, he won 5 Grammy Awards.
Wow.
For Damn.
Wow.
Yes. His previous album, To Pimp a Butterfly, also won 5 Grammys.
I gotta listen to the words for that.
Yes. And then, you know, of course, he recently produced and curated the soundtrack for the Black Panther.
Wow.
So, Kendrick Lamar.
All right. Doing the damn thing.
All right. Let's go into our topic. What are we teaching our children?
What are we teaching our children?
Oh. Wait. Do you have a did you know?
Oh. Our did you know?
Ooh.
Here in America, a black mother can be held Mother of the Year for literally giving her son a beatdown on national television for protesting against police brutality. Appeared on several talk shows, received thousands of congratulations, cash, co-ops, the whole nine yards. But did you know that another black single mother was arrested for allegedly whipping her son for robbing a neighbor's home, and the child was removed from her care here in America, the same country? Here in America, a white female couple can adopt as many black children as they like, claiming them as special for extra cash since they're of a different race, and not have to work anymore because of the profit gain. In fact, this same white female couple with more than 3 adopted black children starved the children, mistreated them, as quoted by neighbors, then piled themselves and the children in a vehicle and went into the river, drowned them all. And there is no outcry. But did you know that here in America,
a black grandmother who was mentally, socially, and economically stable went bankrupt trying to gain legal custody of her two small grandchildren and watched helplessly as institutions worked together to hand them over to a white couple in another state who dresses them, along with other black children they've adopted for money, dresses them as slaves. And no contact, verbal or otherwise, is allowed to the natural grandparents. Did you know that here in America, a black single mother who wanted the best for her children, properly and by the book, removed them from the public school system for homeschooling, like so many white mothers do. She was harassed by CPS and the police and arrested for neglect. The children were removed from her care, leading to months of fighting for their return. But did you know that here in America, a well-known actress, white, born in South Africa, where white South Africans still practice apartheid, has adopted two black children, a girl and a boy, here in the States. She has dual citizenship. And she dresses a young boy, who's now six, as a girl. She puts the long, curly, blonde wig on him, little girl's clothes, and has been caught on camera yanking him around like a rag doll. Among other outfits, the actress dresses him in pink fairy boots, flowery pants, pink tops, and puts long braids in his hair, styled like a female. He's also been seen with pink ballerina shoes on out in public, pink flowery leggings, a pink purse, and a pink tutu. The little girls are still in an arm day. And there's no protest because she's famous and she's white. And she gives dollars to the Charlize Theron African Outreach Project. And this is Charlize Theron. So you take all of your money that you've gained from, sponsoring a fragrance like Dior, a Switch watchmaker, $2.5 million here, $2 million there, and then you establish an institution, a foundation for the poor black children, and then you adopt them and you treat them like slaves. That's okay. She also states that her mother is her marijuana supplier because she has trouble sleeping. How interesting. Did you know?
Oh, no, I did not know some of those things. But I am so pleased that you did share, because we need to be aware. And this whole deal with this story with these two women, married women, murdering these children. They were abusive to these children.
Right.
Holding
right.
these children captive.
Mm-hmm.
The little girl jumped out the window begging for help. Mm-hmm. The little boy going around crying and searching for seeking help.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. crying out for help.
And nobody did anything.
Mm-hmm. And so I hope to see more of us come together and actually fight this system, because it's not that we don't want to adopt our children, say your nieces or your grandchildren. I mean, we know the story of Delta, Mother Dunning. Mother Dunning has been fighting for her grandchildren in the state of Minnesota, for holding her children captive.
Yes.
With another family.
She is the one that I mentioned. With his two small grandchildren, she has been fighting for years to get her children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's not that we don't want our children. This system has set up certain policies and laws, whereas they can actually take your children from you through CPS and
just like doing slavery.
Yes. it's a recreation, a remix on slavery. So you're able to raise some slaves.
Yes.
All over again.
All over again.
And so I hope to see us fight to change these laws, whereas these people are able to come in and take children, remove children from a home, and prevent other family members from adopting the children, for just taking the children in like we have always done. You've turned something into a system. We always care for each other's children, and we didn't have to take any classes so that we can become a foster parent.
Right.
And all this nonsense.
We already know. Oh my gosh. We know
we
how
to
love.
Our children. Again, we can't. We it's a village. That's why we said village. We take care of each other.
Yeah.
We didn't have all this foolishness. CPS mm-hmm. coming in, taking your children. You have to fight to get your children back, and no family member can adopt your children after 6 months or whatever, depending on what state you're in. What the hell?
Right. What the hell is going on?
But you wouldn't give me any money to help me feed the babies, my children, but you'll give some other foster family $1,500 a month. Oh, Lord, please don't let them take them over there to some doctor and
declare them special.
Declare them special in some kind of way.
Mm.
So
get over $2,000.
What are we teaching our children? What are we teaching our children? We're going to have to teach our children that we have to care for each other and love each other. Let's go on our topic a little bit, just an intro before we go to break.
Okay.
Shall we?
Yes, we shall.
Okay. What are we teaching our children? What are we instilling them? Pride, culture,
self-reliance, respect, entrepreneurship, that they can be anything they want to be, or if someone doesn't cooperate with you, fight them, shoot them. Take what you want without consequences. That their skin is a sin. That the white race is superior. And that they therefore are inferior. Are we teaching them that racism does exist in this country and how to respond to it? That it's okay for a 300-pound man to sling a female student around the room no matter what the cause? Are we teaching our children that their history started as slaves? And that it's okay for others in this day and time to demonstrate that slavery using them for practice and demonstration, and only them because of their skin color, or that their ancestors had dynasties and kingdoms and hospitals and knowledge schools attended by those from around the world? What examples are we setting for them? Do we remember what helped and inspired us as children, and what hindered us or caused low self-esteem or low self-worth as we raise our own? As we raise our children, do we try to avoid the hardships that we suffered, or do we make them walk down that same haunting path? Are we so busy with the outside world that we forget we are creating our future leaders? To be in your children's memories tomorrow, you have to be in their lives today. Children are not born with hate for other groups. They are taught. They are not born with inferiority complex. They are taught. They are not born in this world with a veil of shame. They are taught this. Our children do not enter this realm feeling another group is superior to them. They are taught this. What are we teaching our children?
What are we teaching our children? The pride and culture and self-reliance, respect, and entrepreneurship. Pride. We could talk about pride and a whole topic of itself. Just being proud of yourself and who you are and not feeling that you have to compare yourself to someone else. And
that means so much.
Yes. And not feeling that because someone may bully you, you may experience some type of bullying, but still know that, be proud of yourself. Have that pride within yourself. Love and the respect of yourself.
Yeah.
That will actually insulate you from all
of
that.
There you go.
Yeah, right. Use that as an insulation, as a wall, an impenetrable wall.
Right.
So those words, because see, we grew up with sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what we were taught.
Yeah. Yeah,
our parents and your grandmothers and your big mamas and your aunts and uncles and aunties, they made it very simple for us. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but look, words never hurt you. They can say whatever they want to say out there. You go back out there on that playground and you hold your head up high and you so-and-so. You know, that's how they talk to us.
They sure did. They sure did.
What did she say to you? You gotta go over there and tell Sally so-and-so, and go back out there and finish playing.
Yeah.
And that's what we did.
Yeah.
She said I was so-and-so.
Well, you know you're not. You know you're not. You know you're
not. Exactly. You know you're not, so just go on. So, just right before we go to break, oh, I'm sorry. Did you want to say something else about the time?
Let me read a quote.
Okay.
It is easier to build strong children than to repair broken men.
Mm-hmm.
Frederick Douglass.
Yes.
A child educated only at school is an uneducated child.
Oh.
You got to educate them at home.
Mm-hmm.
George Santayana.
Yes, we do. We do. It's very important. The Jewish culture here continues to educate their children at home and in their own schools.
Mm-hmm.
Some people of the Jewish culture.
Yep.
So I think it is important for us, in particular, since our history has not historically been elevated. Oh, what is that? Okay. So we're going to go ahead on and go to break, and then when we come back, we'll pick right back up on our topic. What are you teaching your children? You're tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show, and we will be right back.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New Black Media for the new millennium.
All right, we're back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. And don't forget to donate to the Black Talk Media Project. And you can do that by simply logging on to Black Talk Media Network Project. And when you log on to the page, go over to the right side panel, scroll down, and you'll see the little heart, and you can donate. Just make a monthly donation. It's very simple and easy. That way you don't forget. Or you can always make a large one-time donation as well.
Exactly. Yes.
Yes. So, love of self, as we discuss, what are we teaching our children? Love of self. Are we teaching our children to love themselves? As we spoke of, about having pride, loving yourself. Do they know how to? Are we teaching our children how to love yourself.
Right.
Who or what is babysitting your children? Okay, let me just speak on that. Because I remember when BET was really hot with the videos back in the day. I remember, like, say, visiting a friend or something, and BET was the babysitter because that's what the parents were watching.
Mm-hmm.
And so the children were watching BET. Mm-hmm. Or maybe not BET videos, maybe the cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
Just TV watching, TV viewing.
Yeah.
Consistently. Parked mm-hmm. right there in front of the TV all day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, are you listening to them? Or do you see them as they come and go and have no clue as to how they're really doing?
Mm-hmm.
So, are you so caught up in your own world? And I know. I know. We get caught up in our own world because so many of us have so many things going on. Some people are working 3 and 4 jobs. So I understand. I get it. It becomes hectic.
Yeah.
And we can tend to not only ignore our children, we ignore ourselves. So when we ignore our children, they could possibly be, at that time, be experiencing some type of hardship. Like we spoke of bullying, they could be bullying at school, hurt from losing friends. We have our puppy in the studio with us tonight, so you have to excuse our puppy. She sees somebody walking by. We're very dog friendly. So, but what are we teaching them? Are we teaching them to love themselves? And how do you teach a child to love themselves? Is there anything that you want to say or point out or speak to in that respect?
I think it's important to let your children know that they are loved. Listen to them when they talk. A lot of times we may hear them, but we're not listening, and they can tell. Children are very smart. A child may want to speak to you or to share something with you, but if they feel like you are just always coming and going, you don't really have time, then this is an opportunity that is missed, and they will find a family or friend or someone else who will listen, and that may not be in their best interest. That is how some children join gangs, and they refer to the gang as their family because they did not feel in touch with their real family. But not only listen to your children, I think it's important to listen to what you don't hear.
Oh, listen to what you don't hear. Yes.
Yeah, listen to what you do not hear. Me being an empath, I feel energy. You don't have to actually say it, but everybody has the ability to do this, to recognize energy. It's just some people are more apt at it than others. But if we would just take the time, some people, I will say, why don't you ask them what they're doing, or just ask them the question, and then they will say, "Oh, they're not going to tell me the truth." Okay, but you're not really looking for the answer in what they say. You're listening. You're looking for how they respond and what they don't say.
What they don't say, how they respond. Absolutely, because if you know your child,
right.
If you pay attention, I think that you would know when there's something amiss.
Behavior changes.
Mm-hmm.
Behavior changes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially, I know nowadays a lot of children, you know, they have their doors locked and parents aren't allowed to come in without knocking and things like that.
You know, that's so funny to me.
Yeah, that's a whole new generation. But if your child is enclosing themselves in themselves consistently in their room, they come in, close the door, that's it. You don't see them until they come out and go out the door or come and get something to eat, you know, maybe you ought to try to have a family outing, because there could be something that the child is experiencing, and they do want to speak out, but they just don't know how to share and open up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Helping them through that process. All right, you want to speak on that or move on to education?
Yeah, move on to education.
Mm-hmm.
So, are we teaching our children all they have to do is get a quality education and the rest is easy street? Or that the only way they can make something of themselves and be proud is to join the service and train how to kill on command for the betterment of the country? Is that what we're teaching our children? Are we teaching our children that it is perfectly okay with us to be taught their history in derogatory methods by people who appear to hate them or treat them inferior? And that's what's going on in a lot of our public schools.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to teach our children that. We don't want to teach our children that our history is all derogatory.
And also, just to speak on education, and for the children, again, it goes back to continuing your education, not just having children buy into this institution is the only institution where, or is the only space, the only learning space. Home, continue. Frequent the library. The children, they don't have to go to the library anymore. They can go online. But sometimes it's good to go in that library and touch those books.
Mm-hmm.
Flip through those pages. It's so much magic and energy.
And you won't be distracted by so many other things, because there are other people there doing the same thing, reaching for knowledge. So you're on that same vibration. You know, with them.
Yeah.
I saw this movie where they said angels hang out at the library. You remember that movie?
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, angels hang out at the library. Always think about that when I go to the library.
Angels hang out at the library. Yeah. Okay. Something really quickly on respect, and we talk about this quite often, Featherlight. Are we teaching our children to respect our elders, respect their elders, in particularly the elders, our seniors? Because, like, when we were younger, of a young age, we knew to respect our seniors, elders. You help them. You help them with their bags. You look out for them. You take care of them. Make sure they make it home. If they need some help, that's Miss So-and-so. You speak. You're polite. You don't curse around Miss So-and-so, for sure.
Right.
Okay, because that was just disrespectful.
Right.
And then you would be in serious trouble time with those types of dirty deeds. Having a potty mouth in front of Miss So, but what I see so much of now is young people unwilling to acknowledge seniors or adults in a respectful manner entirely. They don't speak. They don't want to speak, some of them. They don't feel that they have to say hello. They don't feel that they have to step to the side and not turn and knock you down on the main sidewalk or coming down an aisle. They just don't show any respect for adults and seniors in particular like we used to. And so I would like to see that I have a neighbor that lives about a door or two down. The mother is very kind, pleasant. I think she may be a single mother, I'm not sure. But the son, he will come out, he'll just hold his head down, hold it the other way, walk right by me. And I'm like, you mean to tell me people hadn't learned yet that you need to get to know your neighbors? Anything can happen. That's one thing. But I grew up like that, though, because I grew up in that time period where you knew your neighbors on both sides, across the street, down the street.
Right.
You knew them.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only that, I remember, like, after Katrina, there was so much discussion about how you need to know your Hurricane Katrina.
Oh, right.
You need to know your neighbors so that you can help each other out. So that when you come knocking on the door, they don't think that you're a looter and they shoot you. So it's important to know your community. But people in New Orleans, they were like that for the most part anyway, from my understanding. But there was just more of a discussion of, you know, it's good to know your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to your neighbors. Get to know your neighbors. And so it shocks me and it baffles me when I see, especially young people like that, that, you know, don't even speak. It's like, you have such a kind mother. I mean, is she not teaching you that you should speak? And, you know, sometimes we just may lapse in that. Maybe she taught him everything else, but that's one little thing that she didn't mention. And that's okay, because we're here to help each other learn.
Right, right.
So that we can do better, treat each other better, and be better.
Right. And we... There's so much that we know that we have actually forgotten, or that somewhere along the line it wasn't passed on. So we've got to pick the baton back up. Whatever generation that feels they can do it, mine, baby boomers, the X kids.
Just an intergenerational effort.
Yeah.
Some of these young babies are wise. These are these indigo and rainbow and crystal children. They're very wise, and they've come here to help us heal. They've come teach us, and so we can learn from some of the young babies too. Because what about that little boy? Remember that video that went viral, and the mother was filming when she was telling the two children in the back seat that she's pregnant and they're going to have a baby brother or sister or something like that. And the little boy, he was still in his, I want to say he and his sister were still in car seats. And he said, but why? But why are you having another baby when you already have us? You can't take care of us. Why are you having another? He was like, but why? I mean, he was just talking to her like, that does not make any sense. Why? Here we are, both of us, we're still in diapers. And then here you go coming with another one. Hadn't even gotten us off the diaper yet. This one over here next to me, still on the bottle. And he's talking about bringing another one in. You know, I can just, he didn't say all of that, but, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just saying.
Those would have been legitimate thoughts.
Exactly. That was all-encompassing of his. But why?
Yes.
But why? She's on the bottle, diaper. I'm on the diaper. She's in the car seat. I'm in the car seat. So you ready to put three car seats in the back seat? You know, give me a break. He was telling his mama the truth, though. So respect and anything else you want to share on respect? Speaking about us all contributing to bringing it back.
All of us.
Generation.
Because some of us, like you said, some of us just weren't taught. We just weren't taught. I mean, I have to just say, you know, kind of make people speak sometimes, like a young person, like, hello. Oh, hi.
Yeah.
You see me?
Yeah. Right. And some of these old people too, though. but we're talking about children tonight. But you know, one thing I can say about here on the island, it's very quaint, and it is a small island. Galveston Island is a small island. So you have some of these children that still have that little townish to them, that they still have the traditions and culture of Galveston Island. So they speak and they smile when they speak.
Yeah, they smile.
They're
smile.
Friendly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A little girl walked by today. I was standing in the doorway. And she said, hey.
Yeah, they're so special. I love them. All right, so favoritism.
Let me do a quote. Let me share this quote from Michelle Obama before we get into favoritism.
Okay.
It's powerful to have strong men, but what does that strength mean? Does it mean respect? Does it mean responsibility? Does it mean compassion? Or are we protecting our men too much so that they feel a little entitled and a little, you know, self-righteous sometimes? She added, and that's kind of on us too as women and mothers. We nurture men and push girls to be perfect. It's like the problem in the world today is we love our boys. And we raise our girls. We raise them to be strong, and sometimes we take care not to hurt men. And I think we pay for that a little bit. And that's a we thing, because we're raising them. End quote, Michelle Obama. So, do we raise our girls and love our boys, as Michelle Obama so keenly implied? Do we expect more from our girls and let our boys fly? As mothers, do we remember what it was like to be in the company of a young man who respected us? And is this what we are teaching our boys? As men, do you care how your daughters are treated and raise your boys accordingly? Or does it matter how your son treats his counterparts? I have heard these young men treat these little girls so awful. They call them names. They grab them by the neck and hustle with them and ruffle them. The little girl is laughing and flailing her arms.
No,
like, baby,
no. No, he should be very, very gentle with you.
Oh, my gosh.
He should be very gentle with you. And all of the rough playing, I think they call it rough housing and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Say that for your boyfriend, your guy friends, your male friends.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up. Right. I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I see that quite often when the children are walking home from school. You see them rough housing and the boys acting like they're fighting with the girl and man. I had a male friend. He would say, man. I said, do I look like a man?
Right.
He would always say that, man. And I know it's a slang, but I had to say that to him because I wanted him to respect me as a woman. And, you know, I'm not your man. You know, it's okay to say it in passing or something, but don't keep calling, you know, when you speak to me and referencing me as Maine. Say my name. Do you know my name? You make me
right. Ooh, I don't know what I'd do if I heard somebody say that.
What's my name? Maine. Do I look like you want to be with a man? My name. Don't call me Maine. Maine. Yeah, but definitely, young ladies, have him treat you in a gentle way, because you are a lady. No roughhousing, no chokeholds and play body slams and pushing and none of that.
And here's a quote. You train people. No. You train people how to treat you.
You train people how to
treat you. If you accept that, you're training them that that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if you say no, not me. Mm-mm, I don't. Mm-hmm. You're training them. No, that's not something that you appreciate. Not something that you will tolerate. And you can move on with that.
Mm-hmm. And it can be very subtle too. You don't always have to make the statement. If you have someone, this may be a new person, just an example, and they're calling you, say after your curfew time, after mm-hmm. a time when you no longer accept calls. Even for me, and I'm almost 50. A new person that I meet, there's a cutoff time as to when you can call me.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cutoff time as to when you can call me to ask me out.
Right.
Don't call me Friday night to go out Friday night.
Nope.
Now, if we're in a long-term relationship and all that, that's different. Hey, baby, you want to go? Yeah, let's go. But we knew and all that, don't know. And so if a person is calling you, say 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, and that's the first time they called you all day, or maybe they did call you, but this is a new person, and you want to set a standard. You don't want them calling you late at night for a booty call or whatever. Mm-hmm. Don't answer the phone. You
don't answer the phone
and yell at them. And why are you calling me at 11:30 at night? Don't call me no more after that. I go to bed. I gotta get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. You don't even have to say all that. Just don't answer the phone.
Right.
Every time they call, just don't answer the phone. And then they'll get the man, well, I called you early because, you know, when I call you, you don't answer the phone. Yep. So how you doing?
Yeah.
You
right.
Just go
right.
On.
Right.
You don't even have to argue about it. That's
No arguing.
Yeah, they'll be
what time? I called you last night. What time? Really?
Yeah,
what time was it? It was about 11. I was sleeping. I had turned my phone off. You get the message.
I don't even say that. I called you last night. Okay. So, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I don't even go into all of that. I saw the missed call on my phone this morning. So, anyway. You train a person how you want them to treat you. Very good. All right, so favoritism. Shall we?
That's what we're on. There are a lot of mothers who are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
They are protecting their boys. They're not. They're being so.
I've heard people say that, you know, sometimes mothers, they will do that. They are harder on their girls.
Yeah,
they're more stern
yeah.
with their girls, and they're very lenient in terms of disciplinary action with the boys.
Right. They'll say things like, oh, you know how boys are.
You know how boys are.
That was in my family. That was my boys were treated differently
mm-hmm.
from the girls. And that affects the whole family. That affects the whole family. It affects the girls because they feel that, they can do this, but I can't. Or I'm expected to do this, but they're not. So... their feelings are more important than mine.
Yeah, and it plays into the whole system of patriarchy, which
Winnie
Mandela's daughter, Zanani, spoke about at the funeral.
Yes.
She spoke about the patriarchal system, and when she referenced that system, she spoke about how other men were doing the same actions that Winnie was engaged in, but they were later called saints.
Mm-hmm.
People continue to vilify Winnie Medzikile Mandela.
Mm-hmm.
Winnie Medzikile Mandela. Noma.
Mm-hmm.
Winnie. Mm-hmm. Mama Winnie. Ma Winnie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hashtag I am Winnie. And they continue to vilify her. And see,
that system plays out with our children, because we continue on into adulthood, because men are allowed to be sluts.
Yes.
Pure sluts.
Yes.
They are encouraged to conquer.
Yeah.
Have sex and just sow your wild oats.
Right. Many wild oats. Over here, over there, over there, yes. Over yonder.
Mm-hmm. You can have as much sex as you want. But we're not supposed to have sex with more than two people. I don't care if we're 50. How many people you have sex with? Two.
Who were they?
Is it me and somebody else? Or me and two other people? You know, all this silly stuff.
Get the
and they probably
hurt
had sex
and everything.
With two people last month. Two different people last month. Just last month or last week. But you had sex with two people in your 40 years, 30 years. And now they want to try to shun you and, she ain't pure. You know, I gotta have a queen that's pure. I gotta have a sister that has been damaged.
You know how they say we damaged. You have damaged.
Right. You know how they say we damaged.
Yes.
Damaged. They damaged. They angry. Irritated. Irritable.
Oh, oh boy. It's amazing. Somebody only have our sanity. We deserve some anger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like Solange song, you have a right to be angry.
Yes. You have we have a right to be angry.
You have the right to be angry.
We get this from all sides.
From all sides.
We're not only black, but we're female.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? Gladys Knight. Mm-hmm. Has a song says, it's two strikes against us coming out
today. Mm-hmm.
Female and we're black.
Female and
we're
black.
Black and female.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what happens when they strip us from some of those traditional African matriarchal societies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where the lineage and the heritage and the name was carried through the mother, through the female. And it was, it was equality.
Mm-hmm. Right,
there was a
right.
balance. There was the ma'at.
Yeah,
there was I'm the man, or I'm the woman. We do this together. We work collaboratively.
We do this together. We're partners. Mm-hmm. You do this, I do that. There's no, I'm over you.
Mm-hmm. We work together. Partnership.
Mm.
Partnership. Mm-hmm. But I love a man that's able to take the lead and make decisions also. I don't want to have to be the one that always have to make decisions. And I guess that's the Southern Belle in me. Mm-hmm. As long as he can make proper decisions,
mm-hmm.
intelligent decisions. And I'm sure he would be able to, otherwise I wouldn't be with him. And then if it wasn't an intelligent decision, then I would help him see a better way. If not, then maybe that's something that we have to experience together so that we can both know and grow from that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Never in a demeaning way, though. Would you tell him, "Hey, that was a stupid idea." You know.
Mm-hmm.
Always just considerate of another person's perspective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we're all learning. We're all learning. So let's take a break, and
okay.
We will be back with our African spirit, and then we'll pick back up on what are we teaching our children. You are tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show on Black Talk Media Network.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay, and we're back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show with our African Spirit segment. And as we know, Mom Winnie Madikizela Mandela made the transition April 2nd. Her memorial and funeral services were held this past week and over the weekend. And her daughter, Zanani Mandela Delani, delivered some words that were so powerful and poignant that I just had to share and highlight her and share those words tonight with the audience. So I'll just read a few excerpts from her speech or what she shared at the funeral. Zanani, they call her, I believe they call her Queen Zanani. Zanani, yes. She says, over the past week and a half, it's become... Should I read it in her voice? I think I may can do her voice rather light.
Yes, please.
Okay. Over the past week and a half, it's become clear that South Africa, and indeed the world, holds men and women to different standards of morality. Much of what my mother has been constantly asked to account for is simply ignored when it comes to her male counterpart. And this kind of double standard acts also to obscure the immense contribution of women to the fight for the emancipation of our country from the evil of apartheid. I say fight because the battle for our freedom was not some polite picnic at which you arrived armed with your best behavior. The apartheid state developed a sophisticated and brutal infrastructure for our oppression. It was intolerant of any talk of democracy, especially from a woman activist. I hope that the rediscovery of the truth about my mother helped South Africans come to terms with the pivotal role that she, Winnie Namazo Madikizela Mandela, played in freeing us from the shackles of the system of terrorism and white supremacy known as apartheid. Yes.
All right, all right. Well done.
Yes,
done. Yes. Well done.
Well done. Please allow me to add that when she first arrived at the podium speaking, she had this insistent cough that was like this terrible affliction that had suddenly come over. I mean, she just could not stop coughing. And before she approached the podium, the crowds, you know, they were constantly, the people were always singing like Winnie's favorite songs or different South African fight songs, power songs, Amandla. So they were always singing in between each speaker, or there was some performer. And so the people were singing, and she approached the podium. She kept coughing. And so while she was recovering from her cough, the people began to sing, and they continued singing. And then her granddaughter, Winnie's granddaughter, Zanani's daughter, came to the podium, and she began to read her words. And then the mother was able to come and speak. But some people were saying the ancestors wanted the people to continue singing for a few more minutes. Because they were singing some powerful song. I don't know what it was, because they were speaking it in their, in Xhosa. Singing the song in Xhosa, I believe. I was looking at the chat, because I was watching on the live stream, and so I was looking at the chat, and so I could see that some of the people were saying that there was some powerful song, and the ancestors wanted them to continue singing that song. But when Zanani came and delivered her words, baby, she spoke with so much fierceness. You could see Winnie in her. It was just so beautiful.
You could. You could.
I think I had to listen to her like 3 or 4 times after watching her at the funeral. So we're giving honor to you, Queen Mother Zanani. Thank you so much for sharing those words, and we will continue the fight for freedom, for liberation, because we're not free until everybody is free.
And
free the land. Free the land.
Yes, let it go.
Free the land. We want decent health care. Better yet, let us take care of ourselves. Stop taking over the land and the seas. Let us grow our own vegetables and fruits and herbs. Stop taking over the Amazon forest and putting patents on different seeds and all this. Stop capturing the land. Stop putting patents on all these different herbs and healing plants that are here on the earth for us. Making it illegal for people to have certain plants, collect rainwater and all of this. Just let us live.
Right.
Let us live.
We're going to live.
Yeah, we're going to live. You don't have to let us do anything. It's time for us to live. We're reclaiming our time. I'm reclaiming my time. Okay. So anyway, back to... What, did you want to share anything before we move on?
No.
Okay. Good. So, entitlements and rights. Are we teaching our children their rights, their entitlements, that they even have a voice? Do they come to you when they feel threatened or mistreated by an adult or an authoritative figure? Do they feel like they can come and speak to you about that incident? When they may feel that they've been violated in some way?
Interesting.
Do know what mistreatment is, or are they accustomed to
even know what mistreatment is? Now that's a good question.
Or if they're mistreated, do they think it's because of the color of their skin? Because we are often mistreated. Prime example of that, the two brothers in Starbucks, and also that young man that was shot at by this crazed, this psychotic man, the little boy knocking on the door asking for directions. He's lost, trying to find his way to school, and the man shoots at him. So,
a child.
And you're shooting at him. So, do our children even know what mistreatment is? Are we teaching them their rights, that they are entitled? Well, you know, I'll say this much. In the school system, these children, they have a lot of rights. They are afforded a number of privileges. They can get away with quite a bit now in the school, whereas we couldn't. We were sent home, suspension, forget about it. But nowadays, no, not the case. Not so much. Not so much from what I can see here in Texas. But anything you would like to share about entitlements and rights?
If a child is taught that they have certain rights, then they will grow up knowing this. But if they are taught that they are inferior or that mistreatment is okay, or
like the little boy who was used as an example of slavery in class. They put him on the auction block and pretended to sell him, and the parents did not find out about it right away. Somebody else said something. So evidently the little boy did not know that this is not acceptable. This is mistreatment, because he did not feel the urge to, number one, refuse to do it, number two, come home and tell his parents about it. So what are we teaching our children, that this is okay? So entitlement and rights. I remember so many times of going to the store with my mother, and if something was not right, or there was a price on something in the back on the shelf, for instance, $3.99. You get up to the register, they charge you $5.99. My mother would say, "What's on that shelf back there is what I'm paying for. Now, once I walk out the store, you can run back there and change it to $5.99, but right here, right now, you're going to give me this for what you advertised for." And I grew up, I'm like, okay. Food I order in the restaurant, if it doesn't taste the way I like for it to taste, I don't want this. I don't eat it. I love it, first of course. But I will send it back, and I will ask for something else. I know my rights. So I grew up knowing that, and I talked that to my child. As we said in the earlier quote, children are watching you. They're watching what you're doing. Teach them that they have certain rights.
And they are entitled. Now, this is one of my favorites, entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is
typically... And we're going to close up with this one.
Okay. It's typically not taught in school, all right? I did visit one school recently, and I think that, they teach a small area of finance, but not entrepreneurship. I don't think I've encountered that in just like regular public schools. But I'll just go ahead on. Good parenting is building this into the souls of children. Being decent, upstanding citizens with a good education isn't cutting it anymore. We must teach our children the value of ownership. Even if you yourself do not own a business, we can still teach them how to start a business. With all the resources available now, and there's so many children creating businesses now, becoming millionaires, the little girl with the lemonade stand, and she was able to have some angel investors and people invest in her. Children with books. I mean, these children are children with apps. We shared one story about the brother and sisters, the brother and sister with the I'm Not Okay app. They are still very creative and need our support and encouragement. We just have to water them like a plant, like a flower, nurture them, stress the importance of not relying on someone else for their support and welfare, particularly from someone who could be their enemy or where they feel discriminated. Again, go where you are celebrated. Be in a place and space whereas you are celebrated. Okay? And you shouldn't be in a place where you're disrespected, somewhere where you're just trying to dine and you're disrespected. People leaving all kinds of racist notes on the receipts that they're leaving for you. Keying in receipts with black niggers and jigaboos or whatever on the receipts. And drawing nigger faces or whatever in the pancakes and things like that. What those young white boys did to the waitress, I think in IHOP or Denny's or something. But anyway, so are we teaching our children to get an education, get a job, making someone else's dream come true, get a house, pay bills, try not to struggle the rest of your life? Or are we teaching them to be self-sufficient, develop a skill, nurture your God-given gifts and talents, and make them work for you in addition to an education? Have some type of skill. Be able to do something or make something where you can make some money.
And right.
Turn that little hobby into a business.
Do what you make what you love a profit. Profit.
That's right. Monetize it.
Right.
Entrepreneurship teaches pride, self-respect, self-reliance, and provides a legacy for the next generation. So take some time, Google how to start a business, purchase a small book on starting a business, you can purchase MBA Basics, one of those types of books. MBA for Dummies or Small Businesses for Dummies. Go to your small business association. Like here in Houston, and I need to go back and visit that place, there's a place called SCORE, and they're in different cities. And they actually have the business plans, different models to help you start a business. You can just go through the binders, go through the books, and the information is there, and they'll help you get everything started. So, entrepreneurship.
Excellent. And entrepreneurship doesn't just start with the individual, with the business. Bring that business back to the community, whatever community you decide to help, your own community or wherever you are. But spread the wealth. If you're doing well, help someone else. Teach them that. And not just base success on money, because obviously Europeans have the money right now. So we don't want to teach our children that you're not successful until your pockets are full. We have to teach them morals as well, and to give back to the community. And if you have a child, we all come here with creativity. Like Black Rose was saying, you used to love to paint on the walls, draw on the walls. You found empty spaces on the wallpaper to draw on. If you see that your child has a special gift or a special love for something, if they have a special love for something, it's also probably their gift. Nurture that and help them, encourage them to want to turn this into a business. Support them.
Absolutely.
They have an idea about something, encourage them, give them the push that they need. Don't say things like, "Oh, that won't work," just because you don't have a business. Encourage your child's creativity.
And speaking with or dovetailing, encouraging your child's creativity, I think it's very important to purchase an instrument, some type of tool, or you can maybe do like Tiger Woods' daddy, a father, some golf, I can't even get my words out. Teach them golf at an early age, or tennis, or something like that.
Like the Williams sisters' father did also.
Absolutely.
Like 3 and 4, right?
Put a baseball bat in their hands. I don't promote football because that's so harmful for the children, for people, rather, for those athletes. But encourage them with an instrument. And music can elevate the brain.
Right.
So
right.
The different sounds, the frequencies, we've spoken about this before, the different frequencies have different effects
on our brain, and our thinking, and our nervous system, or our system.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right, then. So,
I think I'd better get with the love the body,
mm-hmm.
so that we can kind of calm, bring things down a little bit and start to relax, get into the body part, to talk about our spirit and minds. Let's talk about loving the body. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about qigong. So qigong, also known as Chinese yoga, is one of the branches of Chinese medicine. You have acupuncture, you have herbal medicine, you have qigong. Some people do prefer tai chi, which both of them are just they're gentle exercise movements, and they're composed of movements that are either done in sequence, like tai chi, or you do them you repeat a number of times with qigong. Stretching the body. I prefer qigong because it's easier. You just do a few exercises and you repeat them, and as we have done in our closing in pranayama. It's very gentle, and it increases fluid movement in your blood and your lymph nodes, and building awareness of how your body moves through space. Your qi is your life force, your vital energy. And qigong means to cultivate or work with your vital energy to build it up and live a longer, healthier life. So there are external and internal movements involved in qigong. And it's very beneficial. It relieves chronic health problems, and it also prevents them, including major health problems like cancer, internal organ ailments, poor circulation, nerve pain, back and joint problems, and general physical disease. So many physical problems that we have are at least partially due to or aggravated by mental or emotional stress. We have to agree to that. So the importance of the inner tranquility developed through qigong, it cannot be overestimated. It's very, very helpful in managing stress, anger, depression, morbid thoughts, and just general confusion that prey on your mind when your qi is not regulated and balanced. So feeling the energy of your body helps you to understand the energy of your thoughts and emotions, and this leads to understanding and comprehending the energy of your spirit. Qigong can be practiced by individuals who only want to become physically healthy and do not care about psychological or spiritual matters, because some people think, well, it's just also spiritual, but it's also good for people who just want to help themselves physically to feel better. Qigong can be practiced by any religion. It's not a cult. It was used originally to make the body healthier, the mind more clear, and the emotions calmer, and to increase spiritual capacity. So there are many videos on YouTube that you can check out. Just type in qigong, and it's spelled Q-I. Okay, it's pronounced qi, like the qi in your body. It's Q-I, and G is in good, O-N-G. So qigong for beginners is my favorite. It would be good for someone just starting out. And then there's also one called The Five Elements by Dr. Jeff Tarrant, T-A-R-R-A-N-T. There are movements, qigong movements associated with each one of the elements. They're fire, water, whatever, and that's really good. So that's what we do when we close. When I say scoop up and look up and bring the qi down, that's in that. That's where I got that qigong from. So, are we ready for a little pranayama and qigong?
Yeah.
All right. So, Sit comfortably in the chair. Feet flat on the floor. And your hand, left hand on the lower abdomen for women, right hand on the chest for men. I'm sorry. Left hand on your lower abdomen for women with your right hand on your chest. And men, reverse. Right hand on your lower abdomen, left on your chest. And let's do some belly breathing. I'm going to inhale deeply, filling your stomach with air. And softly close your eyes. Exhale. Make sure that the hand on your chest is remaining still, and as you breathe in, the hand on your stomach rises, and as you exhale, the hand on your stomach goes down. So, do that a couple of times. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We always try to exhale longer, releasing toxins. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Okay. So I really wanted us to kind of feel our chi. I think we've got a little time. So with your feet on the platform on the floor, put your hands out in front of you, ball your fists, turn your right hand over, open your hand, keep your left hand down, palms down, fists closed, and open and close your hands very quickly for about 20 times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Okay, now, flip your right hand over and flip your left hand over so that your left palm is up, your right palm is down, and do the same thing, open and close your fist 20 times. We are activating the meridians, energy, the chi in our hands, okay? Now, your hands should be about 12 inches apart. Now, slowly bring them together till they're almost touching and then pull them apart like it's a rubber band. Do this very slowly until you feel the tingling in your fingers. And this is your energy, your chi. Very slowly. The slower you go, the more you are able to feel it. Now, take the chi that's in between your hands and just kind of roll it like a ball. Okay? That's the chi. Move it to your left. Move it to your right. Okay? And bring it back to the center. If your fingers are tingling, you're feeling your chi. Okay? Now, let's do a quick little chi massage. Just shake your fingers, let go of that energy that you just gathered. Start all over. Okay? Now, keep your feet flat on the floor. Inhale, float your hands up over your head, palms touch. Then slide down the back of your neck with your hands. Sweep down the front of your neck, smoothing the neck, soothing your nervous system. The back of your hands will come together. You'll come down your sternum, cooling the heart. Now wrap your hands around to the kidneys in the back and massage the kidneys with your chi. Feel the nourishing energy and then move down the outside of your legs, all the way down, the outside of your knee. This is the yang meridian. Move slowly and gently, using your awareness to smooth out your chi. Move down around the outside of your feet. Circle around to the inside of the feet. And up the calves along the yin meridian. up the inside of the leg to the groin and center your hands in your lower abdomen. Just give yourself a little chi massage. And let's close with the earth element that we spoke about earlier. Sweep the arms, inhale, sweep the arms out and open over your head. Gather some good heavenly chi. Exhale. Slowly bring down the chi over your crown, your face, your chest, your abdomen, your hips, and push down to the earth. Hold it there for a second. Connecting with the earth, grounding, centering. Again, inhale up, arms overhead, look up. Gather some good heavenly chi. Exhale. Slowly bring the good chi down over your body, chest, abdomen, hips. Push toward the earth. And one last time. Smile. Always helps to smile. Inhale up. Gather chi. Slowly bring down over your body. Form your hands into the Anjuli symbol, mudra, the praying symbol. Smile, nod. Namaste. Thank you for joining mind, body, and spirit for our pranayama and qigong.
Thank you. Namaste. Namaste, Featherlight. Namaste, Scotty. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and we will return on next week. I feel so relaxed. I could feel my chi, the energy in my fingers when we were doing the push-away.
Good. Yes. Excellent. Yes. That means you were doing it properly.
Yes, yes, yes. All right. Namaste.
Namaste. Namaste.